Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Maseches Krisos Daf Vav. We began around 19 lines from the top of the Amid at the two dots. So another item on the Kareis list is Hamafate Mesakteris. One emulates the Kteris recipe, prepares a batch of Kteris for his own personal use. Tan Rabbah, Hamafate Mesakteris. Suppose he prepares Kteris, but not for personal use. Lelamedbo, to study, to train himself into preparing Kteris for a good purpose for the Tzibur. Oylamayishul Tzibur, or he's actually doing it for the Tzibur, Potter. But for personal benefit, for personal fragrance, he's chayev. V'hamariach bo, on the other hand, if a person actually just enjoys the smell, he inhales and enjoys the reach of the public kteris as it's being burned, potter, l'shamal, he's potter from kteris, despite there being a mi'ilo concern, because he diverted hegdish material for personal use, but there's no kteris. So in a nutshell, hamafatam kteris involves a fellow who prepares the kteris product for personal use. But if he actually just smells kteris, kteris shel tzibur, in that case, it's potter, but there is mi'ilo. Ask the Gemara, umi'ikam mi'ilo bereich. Why would there be a mi'ilo concern in terms of just fragrance? It's not something, you know, tangible. V'ha'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. He quotes Amar Shimon Levi, Shimon bar Kappara. Koil, the beautiful sounds of music emanating from the instruments played by the Levim and the Beis HaMikdash. Umar, or if a person enjoys looking at the beauty, gazing the architecture of the Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash, v'reach, or ingesting the reach, enjoying the wonderful smell of a teres, ein ba mishamila, there's no me'ila. So are we saying that there is me'ila by reach? Answers the Gemara, depends when. Reach, when it comes to reich of kateris, achar shetale timrasay, after the plume of smoke has already risen, mitzvah is over, ein ba mishmila, is no me'ila, as per the second price. Sharei ein lachodover achar shenasa mitzvah sayum yomo, you don't find the phenomenon of something which is processed, its mitzvah has been fulfilled, and this should still be me'ila. Mi'ilah becomes deactivated at that point. It's done and over with. So the second quote is talking about after it's done, whereas the first brisa, which applies mi'ilah even to reich of kteris, is before it's been processed. Allah maloy, why do you say that? Nasas mitzvasa carries no mi'ilah? I'll give an example of something which carries mi'ilah even after the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Vary tumas adashin, the ashes that they remove every morning from the mizbeach, the nas mitzvasa. Once you remove it, you put it down on the ground, it's done. Umo yalama, there's still me'ila. Well, says the Gemara, that's an exception. Mishum davi tumas adashin, that's one example, one exception. Another is uvigde kehuna, the begadim that the kain gadol wears. Shnei ksuvim habamkech. These are two psukim, two halachas that coincide. And we know when the Torah repeats halacha once and again, is to tell you that the halacha is meant to be limited. Leave it by those. Otherwise, it would just say it once and learn everything from there. The fact that it repeats it tells you, we have two psukim coinciding. You can't export that halacha elsewhere. Hence, we know that in general, after the mitzvah is done, there's no mi'ilah. Except for these two cases. Hanichal Rabbanon. So this is true according to Rabbanon, who say that the begadim that the Kohen Gadol wears retain their Isser even after done. El Rabbi Deisa make lamem kont Rabbi Deisa. That once the begadim had been used, the Mi'ilah is deactivated. If so, we only have one exception to the rule, which is Trumas Adesh, and why can't we learn from there to everywhere else? The Sani, we have a Brisa regarding Big Day Kihuna. Binicham Sham, Arna Kain, you know, the Kain Gadol, where's Begadim on Yom Kippur? When he's done, Binicham Sham, we leave them there. What does that mean? Malamid, Shatun Gnizi, hide them, put them away, because you can't use them anymore. Rabbi Deisa Aimer, you could. Ksher and Hain, the Kain Hedya, the white Begadim here, can be transfer to a regular kohen to use throughout the year. What then does the pasuk mean by saying leave them there permanently? Just means that another kohen gadol cannot reuse them the next Yom Kippur, but you could transfer them to the kohen hedi throughout the year for regular use. Okay, so kohen to Rabbi Day, so you could reuse the big day kahuna. If so, we only have one example of an exception, Trumas Hadash, where Mi'ilah is still active even after it's been fulfilled. So why can't we learn from there to everywhere else? The answer is, we have another exception actually on the list. Mishum Nabat Trumas Hadash, that's one, of the Egla Rufa, the beheaded calf, Shnei Ksuvim Ben Keach, there are two psukim coinciding, that even after the mitzvah had been fulfilled, they still retain Isser Hanna, they're still Asr, V'chal Shnei Ksuvim, if so, we limit it to those two cases. Trumas Hadash and Maya, where do we find that the Isra of Trumas Hadash is still active? The Sanya, the Samoy Eitzel Mizbeach. Malamed, we learn the Isra. Tuna Gnis, you have to have it stay there for all time. The Samoy, put it there and it gets, you know, absorbed in the ground, and that's it. It's Asr Bahana, even though it's been already. Egla Rufa, Maya, where's the Egla Rufa case? The Sanya. Pasuk says, "Va'arvu shamas ha'egla v'anochal." They do the arif of the egla. Va'arvu sham, leave it there. Don't touch it. Don't enjoy. Don't have any anah from it. You can't use it. It's asur anah. So we have two sources: one for the trumas hadash, one for egla rufa. That even after the mitzvah has been done, the isra anah remains. I feel one to amar. Shnei ksuvin avoyim ke'echad malam. Even according to the opinion that even we have two sukkim coinciding, we can still export that concept elsewhere. Hachavad ein malamdim. But now, okay, certainly you can't. You know why? Because the Torah gives us a special stipulation. Mushum dahavi trei mi'ut, we have two mi'utim. That this concept is limited to these two cases. But trumas hadash and ksiv v'samoy. Samoy means it only applies to this. Hadein, in, only this, retains the iser. But midachun eloi, otherwise, once the mitzvah has been fulfilled, Isra Hana expires, and Egla Rufa as well. The Ksiv, it says, Ho Arufa. Only the Arufa has in, only that retains Isra Hana, even after the fact, but otherwise, elsewhere not. Okay, now on to the Pitamak Teres. How did they prepare the Teres? What was included? What was the recipe? Tanur Rabbanan. So if you look at the Pesukim, you know, it's worthwhile taking a look at the Pasuk before we see the Gemara, just make it easier to understand. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, if you have it on the margin, that's great. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Kach l'cho samim, some have it on the next Amud base. Kach l'cho samim. So interestingly, you know, if you look at the Pasuk, it only mentions four types of materials. And we know that it's really 11. We have a Kabbalah, Teresh, Shabbal, Peh, it's really 11. And we're going to see how that's learned from the Pasuk. But in terms of labeling them, naming them by name, it's only four in the Pasuk. Kachach HaSamim. Samim is sort of generic, you know, ingredients, plants. Then we have Natav, Ushecheles, Vechelbana, which is actually a foul-smelling ingredient, Chelbana. Then we have Samim again. Again, generic, Samim. And then the fourth one, Ulovay Nazak. Pure Levine. Pabda Badia, grind it up. V'shachaktim men hodek, that's your keteris. It would prepare a full amount annually for the full year, and every day they would be makter a mana. Half in the morning, half in the afternoon. Tanur Rabban, pita makteris. What was included, what was contained in this crushed keteris powder? So how would they do it? Pita makteris. Hatsari, which is kind of a tree sap, Vatsipuran, Vachelbana, Valavina. How much of each? Mishkal shall shivim shivim mana. 70 mana, a certain weight, of each ingredient. Now, these are stipulated in the Pasuk. Because the tzari, that's the nataf, it drips off the tree, mentioned in the Pasuk. Tzipurin, that's the shcheles, mentioned in the Pasuk. Chalbana, of course, that's in the Pasuk as well. And Levina, right? Fourth in the Pasuk. So these are actually the ones labeled in the Pasuk. And then we have additional ones, which I learned from the word Samim. We have Moir, which we discussed the other day. That's also included in the Shemar Mishcha. That's, according to Rambam, some sort of substance taken out of an animal. Some say it's musk oil. Moir Uktsia, that's the root of the Kida plant. Shibayla is Neard. And Becharka. So these you bring much less of. Mishkal Shisha Asar Shoshisha Masa, 16 mana of each. Hakoisht, Shnei Masa, 12 of the Koisht, Kilufa, that you only have 3. Shloisha, the Kinamon, cinnamon, Tisha, 9. So these are the 11 ingredients in the Keteris. How do you get to 11? So we'll see later in the Gemara, because the word Samim, the beginning of the Pasuk is 2. Then it has 3 name by name, so that's 5. And then the next word, Samim, tells you double it. It's plural, double. Go from 5 to 10, plus the Levina, which is 11. We'll see that later in the Gemara. What else was involved in preparing the Keteris, which wasn't technically considered an ingredient, an active ingredient? Boiris, Karshina, some sort of plant used to make detergent. They would use it to wash the one of the ingredients there to brighten it up. Tisha kab, 9 carbon of that. Yinka frisen, this wine. Some say it's the tzlaf juice. Saint loss of a carbon, loss of 3 so and 3 cup of that. Yinka frisen, if you can't find that, maybe chamar chaber an atik, he brings some old, good old white wine. Umelach stoimis, melach from stoim, roiva. How much melech? A quarter of a kav. Tosfos explains that the salt was actually part of the white wine concoction used to substitute for the Inka Friesen. But some bring a different place that they should always put melech regardless. Okay. Malosh and Kolshu, a special, unique, mystical ingredient. That was the Malosh, which was kept a secret, right? So it was called Malosh because it would make the smoke rise straight up. Kolshu, even a little bit, works. Another type of plant which grows on the banks of the Jordan. Kolshu, a little bit of that. And this was meant to soak the tzipur. I mean, these ingredients were meant to we use the process part of the other ingredient. These aren't really actual ingredients needed for the Keteris per se. It was just used to prepare the Keteris material to use, to wash it, to clean it. Now if you put a little honey into the Keteris, it would smell beautifully, but it would invalidate it. The Pasuk, clearly, this allows the insertion of honey. And likewise, if he missed Chisar, Achas, Mikosam, and if he left out any of these 11 ingredients, Chayiv Misa, Chayiv Misa, we're talking that he, on Yom Kippur, he went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's meant to bring the Keteris. If it's a missing Keteris, then he has no business going there, and he's Chayiv Misa. Okay, now we go back and explain parts of that Brice. We spoke about Tzori. Shimon Oimer, what's the Tzori? Tzori, Enel Esraf, it's a sap. Hanoitev was drips from a certain tree called Ketav, Me'atza Ketav. What was the point of Boris Karshina, this soap, Sheshafin Bas HaTzipurin? They would take the Tzipurin, they would rub it, they would clean it with this. Kadesh, they know it should be bright and clean, because it was naturally blackish. They would clean it up, make it. What's the point of Yinka Frisin Sheshafin Bas HaTzipurin? They would soak the Tzipurin in Kadesh Dei Aza to bring out the smell of the Tzipurin. Valoy Meraglaim Yafamo. Here comes an interesting question. Why don't they use Meraglaim instead of Yen Kafrisin? And some learn that Meraglaim isn't wastewater. It's actually, it was like a river, a body of water called Raglaim or Raglium. And the water of that river, why don't they use that, which was just as effective or more if it was more effective than the Yen Kafrisin? Because of its improper, its name. You wouldn't bring this water to the Mikdash because of its dishonorable name. It sounds like wastewater. So, since the Ketores was processed in the Mikdash, it would avoid this ingredient. It's right to him, the Amor says, that where did they prepare the Ketores? In the Beis HaMikdash. Hence, they avoided bringing in this, you know, dishonorable... So it's on the Ketores. Kodesh tells you that even the preparation, even the soaking of the Tzipurin, everything happens in the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe it's a kasha because we have a brisa, which indicates that you can make Ketores even outside the Mikdash. So you have a generous fellow who donates everything. Hamagdash nachasav, he gave it all away to the Yibedek HaBayis. And within his belongings we find some materials which can technically be suitable for a public carbon. What do you do with it? Ideally you want to have it end up being a carbon, but the fact is he donated to the Beit HaBayis, not to the Mizbeach. So what do? We take this material, we'll get to it soon, right? Let's figure out exactly what it is that's Roy for Karbonis. Maybe Ketores, let's see. So you give it to the workers who worked in the Beis HaMikdash, who are deserving of a salary. You paid their wages with this material. And then, we'll see later, you rebuy it, and you can use it for a carbon. Now, before we continue, what exactly are we talk? Hani Dvarim Haru'uyin, Ma'niyu. Ma'nina, what are the suitable materials? Ibeim V'chaya, Tanale. Are we talking about animals? That's discussed in the Mishnah later. That talks about, you know, what to do with those? That's covered. Iyenos shmona maslasis, wines, oil, flowers. Tanale, again, that's covered in the next mission. Elalav Ketores, the only thing that's left out is Ketores. Apparently, this fellow had privately made Ketores, and that's roi for the tzibur. And since he donated everything that he owns, so now technically you want to use it for the mizbech, and how do you do it? You give it to the workers, and you buy it back, right? So apparently, you can prepare Ketores outside Beis HaMikdash. And earlier we said we can't. Amar Beishia, Boisani Teres Unum Rischaron. No, of course they prepared the Teres in the Beis HaMikdash. Question: how did this fellow end up with privately owned Teres? The answer is like this: they would actually take real Teres at the end of the year, whatever's left over. We're going to see later a lot of Teres left over. So if they had leftover Teres and they had workers that just painted the Beis HaMikdash, so what they were trying to do is, on the one hand, pay the workers, on the other hand, salvage this very precious material and bring it back to use for the Beis HaMikdash for next year's work. So they would do it like this: the Sanya, Moisar Akteris, that leftover Akteris, you know, after a year is over, after Adar is over, that was the end of the year regarding, that was a fiscal budget year in Beis HaMikdash, meaning starting from Nisan, they have to rebuy, they have to buy all the carbon material with the new Masa Shekel, the new fund. So this is left over from last year's purchases. They want to refresh it, reuse it for next year. How do you do that? Moisir Akteris, mehoyo isimba, what would we do with the extra Akteris? Imafrishin schar umnin. They would put aside $100 worth of Akteris for the workers, for their wages. Imachal noisa, amoisa umnin. So first of all, sorry, imafrishin schar umnin. They would take money from the Yibedek HaBayis, $100, put it aside for the workers. Imachal noisa, they would take this leftover Akteris, and they would transfer its kedusha al mois home on that money that they had just earmarked for the salaries. Once it was earmarked, it becomes chulin, right? So now this keteris can get transferred onto that money, and now the keteris is vacated from its kedusha. They would give the keteris to the workers for their pay, just for a minute. Chayzrin, v'chayzrin, v'loicha, oisa, mitzvah chadasha. And they tell the worker, hold on 1 second, don't go away. You don't need that keteris, we need it. And they'll rebuy it from the new truma, from the new asar shekels. So now everybody's happy. The workers get their money. We have the precious keteris back in the Beis HaMikdash, and it's refreshed. Belongs to the new budgetary year. It was bought from the new funds. So here's a classic example where it's possible for a plain, ordinary person to have in his possession keteris, but real keteris. Because for that moment, the Umnan got this keteris before he bought it back, and it was theirs. And let's say a fellow at that point pledged it. That's the case of the, perhaps the case of the Mishnah there in Shkolim. He gave it all away. Now we have real, true, legitimate, bona fide keteris materials, which were prepared properly in Beis HaMikdash, as required, but it's owned by a private person. Okay, so we're still insisting that keteris has to be prepared in Beis HaMikdash. There's no kasha from this story. Maskel Rav Yosi has a kasha. How could he say it? This fellow pledged the keteris that had been given to the workfellow. Because if you look around those Mishnayos, whenever it talks about leftover materials, you know, wines, Tani, the Mishnah clearly explains how to go about doing this process, how to rebuy it. So after they're given to the workers for their salary, you rebuy it from the new money. But if you look back at the Mishnah that we asked from, this fellow was Maglish, it just stops short. It just says he had stuff that could have been used for karbonis. You give it to the workers. Now, if we're talking about a fellow who got in his possession keteris because it was extra and it was given to him temporarily with the intent of buying it back, why didn't the Mishnah explain that you rebuy it from the new truma? But that's required. You have to do that. You have to rebuy from the new money. Oh, so it would seem that we're not talking about your classic, you know, leftover keteris. Rather, we're talking about a fellow who had just privately made keteris. So that's why we don't buy from him. There's no need to rebuy it. It was still all the year. The whole point of rebuying it is because it expired. It belongs to last year and you have to rebuy it from the new. I'm talking about that case. A fellow, straightforward, he had keteris that he made and he donated it. So it would seem that you can prepare keteris in your backyard, in your basement. Not the Beis HaMikdash. Elam Rav Yosef. Bechad misam money keteris. Okay, we're not talking about a full concoction. He didn't fully prepare a full recipe. That has to be done by Beis HaMikdash. No, what happened was, he had one of these ingredients. He had tzari or whatever he had at home. He donated it. Okay, that's legit. That's fine. Tan Rabba. Keteris ha'isenasis. So as we explained, they would prepare a full batch for the full year. Keteris ha'isenasis. Shloish me'ez shishem shmoyne mana. 368 mana amounts. Why 368? Sholish meis shishim chamisha k'nig meisachama, 365, as per the days of the solar year. Although we follow the lunar, but ultimately after the you know, you have the leap years, right? So after all said and done, it averages it out. So you need that much per day, one per day. An extra three was for Yom Kippur. Shloisha, money you send, extra three mana, shemehen, machs, and gadol, melechafna, mekipurim, which can gadol would use for melechafna to fill his, you know, scoopful, for Yom Kippur, for the Kodesh HaKadosh, vashar. Now, ultimately, there was going to be some left over, because he wouldn't take the full three money, he would scoop out of it, so inevitably there's going to be some remnants. Like we said before, you give it to the workers, they make that swap. Netanas lomina mischar. Because the sign is what? Nebraisa, Moisak, Teres, Moisin, Bo. What would they do with the extra Teres? As we explain, go through the whole process step by step until you bring it back in the Reis HaMikdash. Mafrishin, schar umlin. You would set aside money for the worker's pay. Umechal noisa al moisa umlin. You would take the leftover k'teris, transfer the kedusha onto that money. Now the money is kedush and the k'teris is choil. Now you give the k'teris to the umlin. Hold it. One sec. We'll buy it right back. V'nois nois lom schar v'chayzun leik chanois. Some jim chadash. We buy it from the mitzvah salishka for the new money. Which one time is? Turn around. Moisa k'teris. Achas l'shishim v'lishirim sham. Truth is that after a while, it would accumulate to be so much left over k'teris that after around 60 or 70 years, the leftover, the extra, would accumulate to a half a year's fill. Achas l'shishim v'lishirim shana, once in 67 years, hayimefat nois l'chatzoin, they would only have to prepare half the recipe because they already had half sitting there. Lefichach, yachad shepitam l'chatzoin chayim. So likewise, if a private person who's not meant to prepare the k'teris prepares it, but instead of preparing a full annual batch, prepares only a half, he's also liable, because that's also a form of preparation, which was occasionally done in the Beis HaMikdash. Divrei Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Shamar quotes Mishma Askan, quotes the Shimon ben Askan. Aval Shlush Revi'el Shamati, but I never heard them doing, you know, a third of the amount or a quarter. They wouldn't wait that long, you know, 90 years, 100. So that wasn't really a process that was done in Beis HaMikdash. Hence, if a yachid, an individual, does that, he's not liable. V'chacham aymrim b'chol yom misakin maskunta. You know, if they want, they don't have to prepare the whole year's supply in advance. They can do that day's requirement, you know, a mana v'yamachnas, and bring it in, you know, day by day to Haktorah, right? So basically, according to Rabbanon, sometimes they would prepare in advance, sometimes it was just a daily thing, prepare the daily quota by machas and offered as a aktor. So likewise, on the flip side, if a yachad would do that, he's also chayiv. Just does one money, it's chayiv. And that's right to Rava, who says even a partial preparation carries liability. When it comes to the fragrant oil, doing it part way is pata, shenamar u'maskun toy in its proper format. It's hasu kamayu. Kamayu leisasu. Full amount you can't do. Aval chatzon asu, but part of it is okay. But k'teris shepit mechatzon, but partial preparation of the k'teris amount, chayav, t'chsiv ak'teris ha-shetase. K'teris that could be offered. Kol shetase. V'ev shedav de pras b'shachas. You can do a half a month and one half in the afternoon. And some learned that although technically they could prepare half in the morning, half in the night, but in terms of a yachid, only a chayiv does a full mana, which is like a full day's amount. Okay, in any case, even partial carries liability. Tanur Rabba. Further regarding preparation of the k'teris. Haymachzirin oisa machteshes pamayim b'shana. So twice a year they would bring back the ingredients, the powder back into the mortar and crush it again, grind it again to refresh its smell. Now, in the summer, because of the heat, they would store it more spread out. It shouldn't spoil. So in the summer, because of the heat, they would do it like that. In the winter, they would actually, you know, bunch it together, pile it, so that it doesn't lose its shouldn't lose its smell. Okay, so they knew exactly how to handle it, preserve it in the best fashion. Now when the fellow would crush, Omer, so the boss would say, Hadek, Hadev, Hadev, Hadek. Crushed, well crushed. So he would spur him on with words. We'll see later why they have to verbalize it. We'll see later. Divra Yesi Ben Yech. Visholish Man Yesir. Shemehen Kain Gadol Machas. The three extra mana which was used by the Kohen Gadol in Kippur, that would be crushed yet again to make sure it's super fine powder. Every Kippur would return it to the Machteshes, v'shechen yof yof, and crush it even better. K'desh dehei, it should be super fine, daka min adak. K'desanya. Find in the Braisa that on Yom Kippur, the Pasuk speaks about finely ground k'teris, daka,
What's the point of mentioning? We already know. We say already back in the daily Torahs. We know it's ground. What's the point of mentioning it again? I'll tell you, it has to be super fun. Hence, they had to recrush. So when he would be sitting and crushing it, the manager would call out, "Hey, Tevhadik." Why? Miss Ayelid, Rabbi Yechon, right? Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon. Kshem Shadibur Al Yain. Just like we know that speaking around wine can be detrimental to its quality. K Hadibur Eflapsom. Likewise, speaking words around the psalm actually help it, enhance its smell. This takes us back to the number of ingredients in the Keteris, a total of 11, were related to Moshe Rabbeinu by Har Sinai. So aside from the four stipulated in the Torah, it's really a total of 11. Amar Avinu Maikra. Where do we find a hint to 11 in the Torah? We only have four. Answer, Kachal Chosamim, that's plural, Trey, two. Not the Vashchel Zvachalbanat Chachamisha, 2 + 3 = 5. Vesamim, the next mentioning of Samim means duplicated. Vesam Achrin, the other Samim is to tell you double it, go from 5 to 10, Chamisha. Hasar, so add another 5, a total of 10, Ulavain Azaka, that's your 11th Chad, Hachatri, for your 11. Veima, who says? Maybe Samim. And Samim is not to tell you double it and add, it's just to give you a formula in terms of what type of ingredients to use. Maybe Samim in the beginning of the pasuk is a klal, a general formula, any type of, you know. Then we have Nata Vashkelos V'chelp, no? That's a specific reference to a detailed, to a specific, you know, prat, to detail. Samim, then the next mentioning of the word Samim, Chaz V'chelos, again, a generalization. Here's your classic klal. Generalization followed by uprat, by a specific reference, uklal, concluding with a klal. Yet done klal uprat. You can only include ingredients which are similar in nature and feature to the klal, to the prat. What's unique about those three mentioned? Ma prat mefurush. Dover shek koyte v'oyla. V'reichay noydev. What's unique about those three, their smoke rises straight up, and it's richa neidev, exudes a pleasant aroma. Likewise, you could include anything which shares those characteristics. Its smoke rises up, exudes a pleasant aroma. Okay, so who says we add more ingredients? Maybe we stick to the ones mentioned in the Torah. But the point is, you can substitute as long as it shares its characteristics. V'chitema, perhaps you'll say, no. It's not a klal prat klal. Imkein l'chtev prat kra chat prat, because it's only for the klal prat klal. It would be enough to have one example. Why three? Well, lie. The truth is, mitzvah trich, all three are needed. Because each one represents a different type of material. The gods of Natav. If only Natav, which is tree sap of Amin, I would say, it must be tree material. Min Ilan. In, yeah, only that. Aval Gedulin Kaka, but, you know, plants and grass. Loi, that doesn't work. Shemacha Kasav Ushchelas. That's what necessitated the adding of Shechelas. Some say it's, cloves, right? Ushchel Gedulin Kaka. Vikasav Ushchelas. Had the Torah only said a shcheles, avamina, gedul kakein, only plants, avamin ilan loy, but something off a tree doesn't work. Eimolam shemacha kasav, natav. That's why it says natav. So each thing is needed. Why uchelbena? Why chelbena? The gufi asa for its own sake. Mishereich ara, tell you that you bring it despite the fact it does not have a pleasant smell. So bottom line is, maybe the pasuk is simply presenting a classic klal prata klal, samim, followed by the examples to tell you a tree type, plant type, and then concluding with the word samim, klal prata klal, you can substitute anything that shares, you know, similar features. We're not trying to add, go from 3 or 4 to 11. And Cain says, if it's only Tom to teach you klal pata klal, mikach lecha nafkalei. Why does the Torah have to even mention kach lecha samin? Just say kach lecha, take for you, which is a general reference to any type of fragrant material. By adding the word samim, Pasuk is telling you that aside from klal parto klal, it's also coming to tell you, you expand the numbers from 4 to 11. So as the move, eimo samim basroi treininu, because samim kadmoi. Fine, so samim means 2. But then the second mentioning of samim, you said, turns it from 5 to 10. Who says? Maybe samim just means add another 2. Just like the first samim adds 2. Im kein, if it's so, nichtav samim samim adi adadi. It's just to tell you, add 2 and 2, it would put the word samim next to each other. V'soif nichtav notav ushchelis v'cham, then followed by the specifics. Why did Torah split samim in the beginning, samim later on, to tell you that the second samim is coming to duplicate from 5 to 10? Dvei rishmol tani. So in this brayso, it is presented as a klal prata klal. We begin with samim, that's a klal. Not the b'shkalas v'chalbanot, those are specifics, prat. And the next samim, chaz v'kal, it's again a klal. We have a klal prata klal, yet don't okay, elokei not prat. So we can only include things which are similar in nature to the specific examples, which are ma prat mefoyrish tavish akayt v'ayilu, what's specific, what's unique about those examples. Smoke rises straight up. Very high noise, it exudes a pleasant aroma. Af kol davar shkayt v'ayilu mechroid. Likewise, you can include other items which share the same features. Oyein elo klal bechlal rishon uprat uprat achroin. Maybe the klal is the klal rishon and the prat is prat achroin. What does this mean? We'll see later in the Gemara. More explain. Klal bechlal rishon and prat uprat rishon. Amar's answer is love. No, you can't say the ho. Rather, elocha elocha lodim. What's going on? Let's go back to these words. Well, yeah, you know, maybe it's not so. Ella klal bechlal rishon, a prat b'prat rishon. Amr's answer is love. No, incorrect. Ha'enecha alecha nadun, etc. My question: what was the problem that we're trying to answer? Hakash was like this. Samim astroi trei ki samim kadmoi trei. Very similar to the previous kasha we had before. Who says he doubled it from 5 to 10? The second samim, maybe he's just adding another 2, just like the first samim added 2. Hada v'shana k'dishana. And that's the answer that the Bryce is giving, like we said before, Dim Kain. Because if it's only coming to add 2, it would put that word in the beginning of the discussion. Nichtev would say kra, the Pasuk would say samim, and then samim, 2, 2, and then followed by not v'shkalas v'chalpim. The fact that it put place samim at the end, towards the end of the list, tells you that it's meant to multiply the aforementioned number by 2. So that was the first part of his question. When he says, Eina ela klal b'chlal rishon, he meant to say maybe the second klal is just adding 2 just like the first klal. And the answer is, the placement indicates otherwise. What was the second part of his question? Uprat b'prat rishon, what does that mean? Umay, what did he mean to say? Uprat b'prat rishon. Kashley, he was asking like this. We allow tree products, mini elonis, from where? From nataf, which is a tree product, the elephant nataf. Plants, v'gdul karka, that's learned from shcheles. The elephant, v'gdul karka, yakvim shcheles. Says the Gemara. V'lelfi, nami milvay nazaka. Daisi b'chatzat. Now, levay nazaka, it happens to be something which exudes a pleasant aroma. It doesn't have this feature of rising smoke straight up. So why can't we learn from there? We can include other ingredients which only contain one element. Meaning, you can bring something which has a pleasant smell, even though it doesn't have that smoke rising ability. So who says we need both conditions? Hada Omar, On that, the Brisa responds, Imkain, if it's so, that we're going to compare it to Lavoina, that one element is enough. Imkain, Nichta, Krol, Lavoina, Zaka, Mitzi, would put Lavoina, Zaka amongst the other ingredients. Why do you put it separate from the other ones? It says, Not Vashchal, Vashchal, and then later it says Lavoina. Veselach, Minna, we learn from there that even one element is enough. The fact that it separated it and put Lavoina at the very end of the discussion, separate from Natav Shchelas V'Chelban, tells you that he meant to focus on Natav Shchelas V'Chelban, which contain, at least Natav Shchelas contains, the concept of their smoke rising up. So that's required. Well, says the Gemara, who says that's the you can't speak Lavoina Zaka V'Mitzei Havin Treyasa. I'll tell you why I couldn't put Lavoina right in the middle of, because then you end up with 12 instead of 11. Imagine it would say Not of Ashkelz V'Chalban, and then Levoina Zaka, and then it would say Samen. So it starts with Samen, which is 2, adds all 4, which is 6, and Samen doubles it to 12. Maybe that's the reason why I couldn't put it there, not because of your reason. Imkain, because no, if that's the only concern, Nichtav Kro Levoina Zaka V'Mitzei V'Chalban V'Saif. If the point of the Torah is to tell you, learn from Levoina Zaka. You don't need the smoke, you know, rising thing. So Nichtav Kro Levoina Zaka V'Mitzei, we put Levoina Zaka in the middle of the other examples and substitute Chalban V'Saif and replace Chalban, put Chalban out of the list. Because in any case, you don't learn much from Chalban. Chalban, we said, is unique and has a bad smell, right? So it's like a thing on its own. Let it be separate from the rest. Let the Torah say Samim, and then Natav and Shcheles and Levoina Zaka to be used as catalysts, as precedents for what's required, and then the Chabana all the way at the end. Samim, Natav, Shcheles, Levoina Zaka, then again Samim to go from 5 to 10, then Chabana at the end for 11. Shlagash Amar, Migufa. I'll tell you why you can't use ingredients which don't have this straight up rising smoke. Look at the word. Migufa, malosh and ktev. What does teres mean? It's smoke rises straight up. That's why it's required. Amar Rabbi Chanan bar Brizna, Amar Rabbi Shimon Chasida. What do we learn from the chalvana? This foul smelling ingredient. What's it doing there? Called tanis, she'embo, mepesh yisrael. Whenever Klal Yisrael gets together, right? We daven on a fast day, we do tshuva. If we don't have Poshi Yisrael, Eden who deviated and now did the Shuva, if we don't have them involved and included in our experience now, Tefillah Eina Tanis doesn't have the same impact, the same effect. The fast day and the Tefillahs that accompany the fast day have to include people that came back to the fold, the Teshuva, who are now very precious in the eyes of Hashem. How do we know this? Shari Chalban Arecha Ra. Chalban has this very unpleasant smell, and Hashem wants it in the Ktaris. I want them too. Umana hakas, the Torah counts them amongst imsamani actors. You see how important it is to have this element as well. And translating to our case, it's people who deviated. But now that the teshuva, the madrega of teshuva is tremendous, and his tefillah is very impactful. We need them as part of our tefillah. Abayom amihacha, bring you another raya. Ha'gudas alar shisada. Mekal Yisrael is tied together, b'guda achas, with all the various elements of our community, then Alaret Yisrael establishes the world and brings success. Okay, next item on the Kurus list, a person takes the genuine Shemen HaMishch from the Beis HaMidosh and he applies it on his own skin. Let's say he did it on a behema. The kelim, on a utensil, potter, is exempt. Like the kechavim, on a mason potter, likewise on a goy, on a mace. Torah warns against putting on a person. Don't qualify. Live adam ninu. They're not adam. Meisim nami potter. Given the mislay, meisim mikrilay adam. Likewise, puts it on a deceased person since he died. He's called the meis, not an adam. Eloyim gechama. My potter, but on a guy. Why is he exempt to adam ninu? They qualify as adam. Liar. Says him or no. The true status of Adam is unique to Yisrael. Chsiv, v'atein, only you call Yisrael tzayni tzayni marisi, Adam Adam. Adam, you are Korean Adam. Vein, become Korean Adam, doesn't apply to a guy, famous story, Vein, St. Eibschitz, was challenged by the priest, front of the king. What do you mean? How could you put down the goyim? We're not called Adam. What are we? Animals? He says, he writes that he was struck by a tremendous enlightenment from Hashem. It was tremendous Seif B'Shmai. It couldn't have been natural. He says, it came Hashemayim. He has this wonderful insight. And he says, look, Rabbi Yisrael, no. That's not what it means. Rather, the pasuk is highlighting something unique among Klal Yisrael. When a yid is in pain, anywhere in the world, all the yidin feel his pain. Well, one body, all limbs are the same body, which is something unique to Yisrael. Goyim don't have that. Goy is suffering in Antarctica. Nobody cares about him in Australia. So that's what the pasuk means. We're part of this unique entity, this unique Klal Yisrael club, which is one body, one goof, one entity. And that's what the pasuk means. In any case, it worked, and he was saved. The king bought it, and was able to walk away. In any case, the true status of Adam is only by Yisrael. Okay, so you put it on the guy, you put Voksiv and Nefesh Adam Shisha Asur Olof. We do find the term Adam applied to a guy as well by the Muhammad Midian, 16,000 Adam. It's all, about context, because the pasuk speaks about behemoths as well. So in contrast to behemoth, calls the goyim Adam, but the true madrega of Adam only applies to Yisrael. Oksiv ani lo yachas al Ninvei, ribo yadam, likewise by Ninvei. Hashem says, I'm not going to have compassion on this big, huge city, more than 12,000 ribo yadam, they were goyim. Again, ahula fuki behemoth, contrast to the behemoth, which is mentioned in that pasuk. That's why it gives the goyim a label Adam. Ribo yadam, another answer. Ketanitana kameda blazer. I'll tell you why. The Yishayahu Nishcha on the body of a goy doesn't qualify, because the Tana Kamei Dov Lazer, like the Tana presented a Braisa for a Lazer, Kol Sheyeshne B'Sach Yeshne Bal Yisach. So the Chacham presents a Braisa which says like this. It goes in hand in hand, it's linked. Kol Sheyeshne B'Sach, a person was warned against smearing the oil on himself or on others, Yeshne Bal Yisach, he's also covered by the Isser of having the oil put on him. So it goes hand in hand. So Yisrael, who is not meant to apply it on himself or others, so he can't have it applied on him either. But a guy who doesn't have the first element doesn't have the second element. We call Shein B'Sach, but a guy who is not warned against using it, and in Bal Yisach likewise, is not covered by the Isser of having it placed on him as well. Tani Yedach, Brother Braisa, Asach B'Shem Rishchala Behema, Bekelim, it applies on all these his pata. Suppose he put it on a king who already had anointment or a kohen gadol. Rav Meir Machayev, you have no business putting it again. Rav Yehuda Poiter, he exempts him. V'kama, after all, it's suitable for him, it's meant for him, even though it's redundant, but it's no chi. V'kama yasach v'yechayev. Another question, totally separate. What's the shiur, what's the amount of oil that's applied that triggers a karis, even a drop, has to be a kazayis. Now the Gemara at this point figured that they're discussing a proper anointment of a king or a kohen gadol, and the amount that's needed. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Sorry, the Gemara at this point figured that they're arguing about a fellow who placed the oil on a kohen gadol or a king who was already anointed. So how much triggers a liability, going to be a drop, going to be the kazayit. But the question we'd already said that regardless, if the kohen is meant to be anointed, and likewise the king, even though he's already anointed, you put it on your potter, vamar vida potter. So how can he say if you put a kazayit, ki potter buda gabim lachem kaihanim? Yeah, he's talking about a king, but there is potter, gabim hedit mechay, but here we're talking about a hedit, standard application of shalom nishchan, a regular person who's undeserving. How much is needed to trigger the chiyuv? Rav Meir says a kol, Rav Yehuda says a kazayis. No, what's the machlokes about? Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, my plea. What's the machlokes about? Amar Rav Yehuda, my plea. Machlokes as follows. Rav Meir Sabar, look at the pasuk. Absar Adam lo yisach. It shouldn't be smeared. Uksiv, and then when the pasuk talks about kares, it says vashayitain. Yitain is lashon asin, a placement of significance. Vashayitain men al zor. Rivera says, no, it doesn't change the equation. Masicha, kolshav nesina kolshav. Just like in the first pasuk, it says yisach, which indicates even a drop. Likewise, asher yitin means a drop as well, and this chorus. Rabbi Yehuda Sofer, no. Yalfinu Nesina Dalzor Nesina Dalm. In fact, as it says, Asher Yitin Min Alzor. We learn the definition of the word Nesina from Nesina elsewhere. Ma Nesina Dalma, because I just like elsewhere. When you say Nesina, it means something of significance. A Kazayis. Rashi says we learn it from a different pasuk by Truma, where Venosin Lukain is a Kodesh, there it's a Kazayis. Half Nesina Dalzor Kazayis. Likewise, placement of the soil on a non deserving fellow is a Kazayis. Avosicha la Mimshach Lachem Kayhane, they are called Koshu. But in terms of a proper application of the oil on the king or the kohen who's deserving of it, you don't have to have a kazayis, even a drop works. Okay, now let's go back to the first machlekes. We discussed the shear of sicha on the zor, kazayis, or what about the first machlekes? A kohen gadol who already had the anointment, a melech already, and you already add more. Rav Meir says chayev, Rav Yehuda says pata. What's that machlekes about? Rav Yehuda said my pligur, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda gabei melechem kohen. Rav Meir says Rav Meir holds vashitim en al zor ksiv. The pasuk says whoever places an azar, undeserving. And guess what? Rav Melech kohen gadol hash tozar minu. With respect to this new application of this oil, they're considered like zarim, like a stranger. They don't have no business engaging with this oil again, even though they've been anointed in the past. So they're like anybody else, and it carries full liability. For Rav Yehuda Savar, he says no, but in an adi kazar mitchlas vat soifai. For liability, it needs to be a true zar from beginning to end, as opposed to this melech v'koyin and mikar lav zar lavu. Initially, they were not considered a zar with respect to the oil; they were deserving of the oil. So even though it's inappropriate, but there's no liability. Amar viki b'edar ami. Azal Tamai, interestingly, we find a different discussion which seems to link this Nam of a Mishnah. We'll turn to the next topic. Pas Kohen Shinisus Leistro. We have a woman from a Kohen family married to a regular Yisro. Vachal Betruma. Now, she has no business eating Truma, and she did. Inadvertently. So typically, when a Yisro does that, he pays back the principal plus a fifth. What's her status? She's now technically married to Yisrael, so she has that status, but she's from a Kohen family where Truma is suitable for her. So if she ate it, Mishalemes is a Karen, Ve'ena Mishalemes Achaymesh. She gets away just by paying the principal without adding the fifth, because she still retains some element of her former identity. The fact is, if her husband passes away and there are no kids, she can go back home and have everything. So she still retains a bit of that Yichus, and she's exempt from the Chaymesh. So despite being married to Yisrael and having a status, but deep inside she's still a kohen. When we saw Sabasrefa, if she deviates from her husband, she gets a Srefa punishment, just like somebody from a kohen family. This is Lechem Napsulim. Let's say she marries somebody who's inappropriate for her, a mamzer, Shlom is Karen v'chaymish. In that case, her status changes completely. She loses her kahuna identity, and now if she eats the truma, she has to pay back the Karen and the Chemish. Likewise, if she deviates from her husband, she gets chenek like any other Eishes Yisrael. The Rav Meir. So what do we see from here? That in the second case here, once she marries a apostle, she completely loses her initial identity. Likewise, in the case of the Shara Mishra, we have the Kohen Gadol, who is already anointed. That's it. At that point, he has no business engaging with the Shara Mishra. So even though initially he did, but now it's like anybody else. So it links, right? And this is Rabbi Yehuda speaking. Whether she married a regular Yisrael or she married him to an apostle, she still retains an element of kahuna. So she only pays back the principal, she doesn't have to add the fifth of the truma. Shreif is applied because she's not a zara. She was not a zara from beginning to end. The fact is, she was a Bas Yisrael. She was a full Bas Kohen until recently. till she married the apostle, right? So she's not a full Zar, and therefore she gets special Kayan status to a certain extent. Likewise, by the Shemar Mishcha, since the Kayan Gadol at one point was not a Zar with respect to Shemar Mishcha, she's not fully labeled as a Zar, in which case, even today, if the Shemar Mishcha is applied, there's no liability. Interesting link up between the two discussions. So again, we had a machlokes regarding, let's say, a Kohen Gadol, who was anointed, but now he's done. He's already anointed. He doesn't need more oil. Then you apply the oil. What happens? Is it considered a Zar like anybody else? Going to Reb Mirias, just like by the Bas Koi? Once she loses her identity, she's treated like anybody else. What is it going to Reb Yehuda? The old identity is somewhat maintained, and therefore by the Shemar Mishcha is Potter, just like by the Bas Kohen, she's still considered somewhat of a Kohen even today. Amar Rav Yehi, so one more point. Machlokes b'nesinas Shemar Mishcha. This whole machlokes between Rav Meir, that even a drop of oil is a problem. And Rav Yehuda says only a kazayis. That's only b'nesinas Shemar Mishcha. Based on the explanations that we had, b'shenuye, the shanina, and the answers that we, explanations that we've given. But all agree, barring any indication otherwise, that the word Nesina typically means a kazayis. Ava Nesina da Alma, but typically when we have the word Nesina, Dibra Kol kazayis, all agree it's a kazayis. So Rashi says, let's say, by a mincha of a chaytin, I'll have levoina. Lo yitin ale levoina. So yitin means a kazayis. It's only chay by kazayis because, again, the term Nesina means something of significance, it means a kazayis, unless indicated otherwise. Gufa, let's just go back again. Tani Tana Kamedor Lazar, so the Chacham presented Rab Lazar, Adrasha. How do we know that placement of Shemar Mishcha on a goy is not is no liability? Because it goes hand in hand. Kol sheyesh nebesach, yesh nebal yisach. The issue of bal yisach, not having the oil placed on him, is only on a person who is warned against using that oil. Kol sheyesh nebesach, ein bal yisach. Bal yisach does not apply to someone who is ein nebesach, who is not under the issur of applying the oil. Meaning, if you have an issur to apply on yourself on others, so the oil may not be placed on you, but otherwise it's not awesome. Amalei, it's a Shabbat Kamas. He says, well said. In fact, the word itself in the Pasuk indicates as such. Lo yisach ksif. So if you look closely at the word, it has two yus. Lo yisach. Karibei lo yasach. So we can read it as though one of the yuds are inserted in the middle of the word. Lo yasich. You don't apply that oil. So when you have that iser, likewise, lo yisach, you shouldn't be the one to have the oil placed on you. That's only by Yisrael, who has lo yasich, likewise, he has lo yisach. Okay. We spoke about the iser of copying the Torah's recipe for personal use. Typically, one thing, once the mitzvah had been fulfilled, such as the Ashram of the Torah having risen, there's no me'ilah. Nas mitzvase has no isra, has no me'ilah, except for some exceptions. We spoke about the making of the Torah, the 11 ingredients, the amount that was needed per year, what to do with leftovers, how they would regrind it, especially on Erev Yom Kippur, Daka Menad Daka. We spoke about the Pasuk, Klal Prat Klal. Spoke about the importance of the chelbon included in the system, Paishe Yisrael needed in the tefillos to bring it up to Shemayim. We spoke about applying the Shemayim Mishcha inappropriately. It's only chayiv on Yisrael, but not on Behem Akelim or Oiv the Kechavim. We spoke about the Shir, Kazayas or Mashu. What happens? It's placed on a person who initially was deserving, a Kohen Gadol or a Melech, but now it's inappropriate. Is he chayiv or not? Machlokes Meir Rabbi Yehuda. And we'll link it up to a similar machlokes regarding a baskai. Okay, all the best to you. That's lacharab.